Okay, so the Gemara tells us the following halacha. Amar Rav Huna, chater sheyesh la shnei ptachim tzicha shtei nirot. That if you have a house with two entrances, you have to light a Chanukiah at both. Yes, Ezra. Courtyard. Yes, of course. That's where you're supposed to be lighting. No. If you have a courtyard in front of your house and you light at the entrance of the courtyard, that goes through Shudar Abim. Correct. If you don't have a courtyard in front of your house, then you light in front of your house.
But you say that the courtyard
would be lighting like... No. It has to be a doorway. No. There has to be a doorway. Not just randomly. It has to, so if your door opens into a lawn, so you could light at the door. But if it opened into a front yard with a gate, you would light at in front of the gate. You have to figure out the right configuration. No, you can't just put it in the middle of nowhere. It needs to be samach to a house, right? So you have to figure out exact configuration. Okay, but that's the reality, and you'll see if you walk around starting tonight, you will see that most people in Modi'in, honestly, it's apartment buildings. Many people will be lighting at their front door rather than in the window. Okay, I will be lighting at my door and my window. I'll have multiple going. I'm lighting, Ura's lighting, my kids want to light, so, you know, I don't know. There'll be multiple menorahs going. Some of them will fit at my door, some of them won't. But you'll see, right, that's how they used to do it, and that's how many people do it in Israel. Just one second, Adam. And But this is only if you have two directions, right? Meaning if you have multiple entrances to your courtyard in front of your house, you only need one. But if you have one, you know, from each direction, so then you need one at each entrance to the courtyard. Okay, that's the halacha. Yes, Adam. You put it there also. Yeah. No. It has to be like it has to be samach to the. It could be in the no. It could be meaning it has to be or it has to be samach to the doorway. Meaning if you have the courtyard, so you put it by the. Right, the entrance to the courtyard. You can't just put it in the street. When you put it by the doorway, like you put it across from the mezuzah. Across from the mezuzah. What? Across from the mezuzah. The doorway between the courtyard and the street. Across from the mezuzah. What? Of course. This is by any door. Like that. Correct.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, by across from the mezuzah. Yes. Rez Rami.
Okay, so instead of actually having another door,
No.
Why not?
We'll see. It's a good question, but no. But let's see. Yes, Ezra.
It would be like if you had a third quarter and you only have blood, can you have one family for all things?
Correct. Right, you're correct. You can't just light for, right? Yeah, you can't just light on behalf of everyone in the courtyard. That doesn't work.
If there's a shared courtyard and they have two families or whatever, if one
each of them has to light. They both have to light.
If there's two entrances and two families, could one light one or the other? That way you solve the problem.
Yeah, presumably. Presumably. Yes.
I'm assuming that if she is
we'll see. That's not 100% clear, right? So Yonathan already notes that the Gemara doesn't make it 100% clear that you can see both entrances from the same side. Let's assume that you can, but we'll see that maybe not. Usually you can, right? You'd have to have a pretty big property for that not to be the case. Yes. Correct. Yes. Doesn't matter. Okay. So, That's the halacha that we're dealing with. That's what I want to understand. So the Gemara says, so then the Gemara challenges Rava. And the Gemara says, why? My taima, why is it only on two directions and not one? Ilema mishum cheshada, if the reason to light is because you're worried that other people are going to think you're not lighting the menorah, cheshad adiman, who are we worried will be worried? Right? Who are we concerned about their concern? Yeah. Ilema cheshada de alma, if it's the people of the world, afil beruach achad nami liboy. If it's just random people, so they even on one side of the house, it might be suspect, either because they can't see both entrances or because they think that maybe there are two people living in that property and they don't realize, or they can see both, right, but they don't realize that it's owned by the same person and therefore they think that one of the people living there is not lighting, right, or something like that, right, we'll see, but right? Rashi takes the second possibility that I just said, right? If you look at Rashi, Rashi said, Svurin en shabayt chaluk mitocho, right? Rashi assumes that the two entrances you can see at the same time. The reason you might have thought that you're allowed, that you need to light at both entrances is because they might think it's a semi-attached house rather than a single-family house, right? And therefore think that one of the people is being derelict. Yes, Yonatan. Well, wait, let's get it out there, and then let's wait. Okay? So the Gemara says, so if that's the case, and if you're talking about the people, your neighbors, Naniach, your neighbors aren't going to suspect you, because your neighbors know that you have a big wraparound courtyard and have two entrances, right? They've been living next to you for years, right? We all know our neighbors, right? I'm waiting to see who's nodding and who's not. It's like, oh, where do they live? What? Okay, there you go. So the Gemara says, so la'ola mishum chadav emata v'zimnin demalch nemechalfi b'hai v'lo chalfi b'hai v'amigeich v'aypitcha lo adlik v'achpitcha nami lo adlik. So the Gemara says, no, it is the people in the city, and there's this weird concern that maybe the people know that you have two entrances, but for some bizarre reason, when they pass by one entrance and don't see menorah, they'll say, aha, he didn't light in this entrance, he obviously didn't light in the other entrance either. Which is very odd. But yes. So then the Gemara says, uminat temra dechayeshinan lechshad. How do we know that you even care about what people suspect you of? The Gemara answers, "Detanya from the Braita." Amar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, "Bishvil arba dvarim amra Torah lahaniach peya b'sof sodehu." For four reasons, the Torah said to put peya at the peya, right? To put the percentage that you leave literally in the corner of the field. One is mipnei gezel aniyim. One is so that you don't steal from the poor. Umibnei bitul aniyim. Umibnei achshad. Umishum bal techale. What do those four mean? Mibnu gezel aniyim shal yir balabayit shab penu yavi omer lekrovo ani arezu peya. We don't want it to be that you have a relative who's poor and you say, oh, there's no other poor people. You call up your relative and say, come and take everything. Right? That's very easy if it's in the inner corner. But if it's at the corner on the right of the field, when anybody can reach it, right, you don't have that, right? You don't see it from your house, it's closer to the public, right? You're not going to be able to do that. The second is we don't want the aniyim to try to figure out, did the person leave it, did he not leave it? Did he leave it, did he not leave it? If it's on the corner, you'll see, right? But if it's, I left it, right? It's a, you know, it's a grid of 100 squares, and you're like, it's, you know, the square right in the middle, right? Imagine like a chessboard, right? It's like I don't know, queen four or something, right? Like, smack in the middle. That's where you have to find it, right? It'll take forever for them to figure out when you left it, when you didn't. Ubimneachshad, what does it mean, concern? Shaloyu obrim v'shavin omrim tavo me'era la'adam zhulneach peya b'sadeyu. Because we're worried that people are going to come by and say, aha, he didn't leave peya, so they will curse you. But if you always have to leave it in the same place, right, then you'll leave it, and the poor people will eat it. But, like, everyone will know I left it. It was taken by the poor people. There'll be no, maybe he left it, maybe he didn't. Umishum balta chaleh, and balta chaleh is you're not allowed to not leave peah, right? Don't completely harvest your field. Isn't all of this mishum balta chaleh? He said, yeah, but I'm a rabba mibnei haramain. We don't want people to be able to say, what do you mean? I didn't harvest everything. I left a portion, but I left it somewhere else. Okay. This is the Gemara. I have many, many problems with this Gemara, as you know, because I was yelling about it during Seder. But let's talk about what problems there are with this Gemara. Yes, Ezra. Okay, good. So let's talk about the problem here with quoting Peah. Okay? How did you know that I wanted to ask that question, Ezra? Last week, we spent 2 days dealing with the Gemara's general concerns of chashad. We saw that the Gemara assumes that you always must do everything in your power, possibly, to make sure that people don't suspect you of Isurin. The source text from the Torah was, V'hitem nikiyim me'ashem u'mi'Yisrael, right? That you have to be clean in the eyes of God and the eyes of people. And then the Gemara in Shkalim went farther, right? And the Sugya in Shkalim said, we have a pasuk from the Torah that will prove to you that you have to be concerned about what other people say. And we have a pasuk from Navi that tells you that you have to be worried about what other people say. And you have a pasuk from Ketuvim that tells you what you have to be worried about what other people say. We have three wonderful options that tell you, in your life, must make sure that whatever you do, people do not look at you and look askance, think that what you're doing is wrong. Right? We have a whole host of beautiful psukim and a whole sugya in Shkalim. So if I were reading the Gemara in Shabbos, I would have said, how do you know that you have to be worried that people will see your one entrance without a menorah and be worried that you didn't light your candles at all? How do we know? Because v'yitem nikiim Hashem u'mi'Yisrael. And then the Gemara pulls out Peah. Great. So question one. If this is really about chashad, why did you go and ignore the three psukim that we had that established your obligation to chashad and bring a different one and pay up? Okay, that's question one. Question two that bothers me in this sugya, also about payah, is, yes, Yaakov. Okay, good. So there's a quantitative problem here that Yaakov has, which is, wait a second, Peah, that's plausible concern. Hanukkah, I don't know, right? Like, how far do I really have to go? Meaning, the guy doesn't want to turn the corner, so now, to check, he doesn't want to assume that I have a second entrance, like, yesh gvul. Yesh gvul. Okay, I have an even bigger problem with Peah. Yes, Yonatan. Okay, so Yonan then has another problem, which is, who cares,
yeah.
Right? Meaning by Peah, we're worried that the poor person won't get the money, yeah. Right? The cases that the Sugya discussed in Shkalim, we're worried that people are going to be stealing the funds of Staka. Okay, maybe there I care about Chashad, but who cares that someone doesn't know by Minar? Okay, I got a bigger problem. I have an even bigger problem, okay? What? Wow, this is what not going out for months at a time leads to. Yeah. It's very scary, yeah. I have another problem here. A very fundamental problem, which is...
My Hanukkah,
thanks. Someone actually explained to me what's going on by Peah. What is the difference? Let's assume for a second that I'm not bothered by the fact that the Gemara in Shkalim has three different psukim, and this one has the one in Peah. Let's assume that, fine. So it quotes four different psukim, not three. Is there a difference between the way the Gemara presents the concerns of Chashad in the sugya in Shkalim and the way that it presents the proof from Peah? Is there a fundamental difference?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, good. Thank you. Now we got yes. I can divide all my questions into two. First, a yes or no question, which I hope you get right, and then the whys. At least you all start with a 50% on it. Yeah, okay, good. Yes, 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 Rami. Okay, maybe, right? There is a little bit of a difference that way. But let me try the question this way, okay? Let me try the following question on you. Yes, Yonatan? Before I ask the question, yes. Ooh, yes. Okay, okay, let me try even more fundamental, okay?
Yeah.
Let's try it this way. Answer the following question for me. Who wants to be the farmer here? Ezra would like to be a farmer. Ezra and Adam would like to be farmers? He's allowed to be a dairy farmer, but you don't have Peah by dairy farming, so... It's okay. They're from New York. They think milk grows from the ground. Okay. Yeah. Fine. Great. Okay. Fine. So, we know that. So, Ezra and Adam are farmers. Adam, farmer Adam. Why do you have to leave Peah at the corner of your field? So the poor people will get food. Good. Why at the corner? Oh, you're overthinking it, Adam. No, you're overthinking it. No, Adam, Ezra, why are you leaving in the corner of the field? No, you're all overthinking it. See, you've all already sold on this. You're all overthinking it. Why do you leave Peah in the corner?
Because
Thank you, Gavi. The reason that you leave Peah in the corner is because there's a mitzvah called Peah, and you're supposed to leave it in the corner. When the Gemara says, so now, Gavi, now that you've answered the obvious question, which is, why do you leave Peah in the corner? The answer being, because the Torah said leave Peah in the corner. So now ask me a question of what the Gemara here is doing.
The Gemara is trying to say, why is that what the Torah
says? Oh, very good. Yeah. Wait. So now... See, apparently no one got this until just now, but wait a second. The Gemara in Shkalim, the sugya in Shkalim, when it quotes the psukim, what is it doing? What is the purpose of quoting those psukim? What is the purpose? Of what mitzvah? No, it's not. Oh, very good. Thank you. Meaning, in the Gemara in Shkalim, when the Sugya and Shkalim tells you that you have to be concerned, that you have to be concerned about what people think about you, the context is, that's it, right? You must be concerned about what people think about you because you must be concerned about what people think about you. This is the independent value that the Gemara in Shkalim is teaching you. That's what it's telling you. There are a million applications of that, right? Like, if you are a Gabbai Tzedaka, then you have to make sure that everything is above board in a way that you're above suspicion. And if you're the treasurer for the Beit HaMikdash, so then you have to make sure that you don't have pockets or an afro or whatever the case may be, right? Because, yes, we all know that Yonah could hide money in his hair. We got it, yes, right? We understand, right? So he can't be the treasurer in the Beit HaMikdash, which I know is his dream job anyways, right? We got it. I understand, right? But the Gemara is introducing a universal value, which is avoid suspicion. And when I ask you, why do you have to avoid suspicion? The answer is because there's an independent Torah value called avoid suspicion. That's what it is. Okay? When the Gemara says, invokes Peya, it's doing something very, very, very different. What is it saying? It's not saying, why are you obligated to put Peya in the corner? The answer to the question of why you put Peya in the corner is because that God said. The Gemara is saying, what is the ta'am ha-mitzvah? What is the philosophy behind the mitzvah? Why did God command it that way? Meaning, once God was commanding you to leave a certain amount of money to the poor, a certain percentage of your field, why did God choose the corner? And one second. And what the Gemara's answer to that question is, there are four reasons why God chose to institute the law of leaving a percentage of your field to the poor person. Meaning, all of them, right? All of them are basically supporting the pasuk. It is, and that's what the Gemara asks, right? And that's what the Gemara says, we don't mean that, we mean Ramayin, right? That's what the Gemara's end was. The Gemara is saying, the Tam HaMitzvah, the reason that God formulated the obligation of leaving a percentage of your field in the way that he did, was for four reasons, right? For four reasons. One was because we don't want Adam, I'm sorry Adam, we know you're the most honest person, we know, but we don't want a theoretical dishonest Adam to say, I have a poor relative, not the relative sitting next to him, God forbid. Right? This is getting very tricky here, right? Some other relative, some other spiser, right, from somewhere, the poor spiser, and say, aha, I need a name that you don't have in your family, and I don't know what the answer to that is. Okay, whatever. I'll go back to my Rambam days. So Rabbi Harz, Sprinza and Gertrude Schweizer. Okay, in my day, that was the all names were always Sprinza and Gertrude. I don't know why, but they always were. Right. So Adam call. So one is we don't want Adam to call up Sprinza and Gertrude Schweizer and say, aha. There are no other poor people, and the money is the grain is left near my house. Come for coffee and some cake, and take all the money with you, right? Take all the grain with you. We don't want that to happen. We also don't want the random poor people to have to constantly be walking by Adam's field and saying, Adam always has the best pomegranates. He always had the best pomegranates, and we just want to make sure that we get part of them, but we never know. If it's not in the corner, we never know when he's going to leave it, because we don't know where he's leaving it. It's all confusing. We want to be in the corner. That's two. Three is nobody should ever suspect Adam of wrongdoing, right? We don't want people to think that Adam didn't leave Peah, because of course Adam left Peah, right? And the fourth is that we don't want people to be able to say that they already left a portion somewhere else, but really they leveled the field, okay? But the Gemara here is asking, v'tama davar, right? What is the philosophy behind the mitzvah? Why did God implement it the way he did, right? Why did God enact the law the way he did? So now I want to sharpen my question, which is, why, when the Gemara is trying to figure out the concerns of Chashad in the case of Hanukkah, does it ignore the psukim that tell you the universal value of Chashad, right? Ignore the ones that tell you that you have to make sure that people are not going to suspect you, and instead come up on this convoluted philosophical inquiry into the rationale behind the mitzvah of Peah, of why God instituted it exactly in the way that he did. Like, that's just odd, right? That's not how we normally do things. Yonatan, your arm is falling off. Yes. Yeah. Because then, like, they could see it, right? Like, when I walk by Adam's Field every... What? No, I mean, look, it's not going to be a perfect... It's not going to be perfect, but it's definitely better, right? Like, it's in the... Every time I walk by... Look, all the... Let's say there's Adam and Ezra and Andrew and Ellie all have fields in a row, right? And they all have to leave pay on the corner. So I don't have to, like, try to figure out when he's going to be done. Every day I walk by the public thoroughfare next to all the fields, and I can just see 1, 2, 3, 4, right? Meaning, if everything's on the corner, it's much easier than if Andrew puts it on the back left, and, you know, and Ezra, you know, and Ezra puts it at queen 4, and, you know, and Adam puts it at knight 3, and whatever, right? I know none of you know how to play chess. That what that you're doing in Seder instead of learning, that's not chess, right? That's not chess. Yeah, it's a... Yes, clearly. Oh, very good. And Yohanan's ways, once I point this out, Yohanan asked me another question, which is, what are we doing? Since when do we do things like this? Like say, aha, why did God do it the way he did? Let's start to figure out what did God want, and then let's figure out what that tells about other laws that have nothing to do with that law, but let's start, like, figuring out Tama Mitzvah and implementing it elsewhere, right? This is, like, very dangerous territory that we don't usually do. You're right. We don't usually do things like this. The Gemara doesn't like this, right? The Gemara calls this Darshina and Taima Dikra, right? And the Gemara doesn't like it very much, right? It's a Machloket, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara isn't enamored with it, right? We probably paskin you shouldn't do it, right? Probably. It's not clear, right? Minchas Chinuch thinks we paskin you do. Yeah, yes, correct. Minchas Chinuch is convinced that we do paskin Darshin and Taimi Dekran and thinks that the Rambam paskins that way as well. And yes, you're right that the Rosh and Bava Mitzia Datsadi does it. Yes, we know. And the Rosh and Menachel Daflam and Bet does it. Yes, we know. Yes, we know. Or maybe we don't know. We should know. No, we shouldn't. What? What? The royal way. The Olam is aware. The Olam is aware. I know, look, I apologize, right? I remember once when I was in YU, one Friday night, I think it was Rav Nussbacher from Shalavim was there for Shabbos. Maybe it was Rav Reich. I think it was Rav Nussbacher, who said, never say the famous whatever, the famous Ramban, the famous Ksos, because that either means the one my Rebbe just happened to have quoted in Shir today, or the thing that I know and you don't, right? Those are the two plausible construals of the famous Shita, right? Usually it's just a way of bragging, right? That may be true. I mean, yes, okay, there are certain things that are famous in a Hanami. Like, I don't think that amongst a group of from Jews, you have to be, like, afraid to say the famous Arba Banim in the Seder. Okay, fine, like, Fine, but I remember once when I was in a different Friday night, Rav Rosenzweig was giving shiur on kidnapping, and he said, as everybody knows from the famous tshuva of Rav Bezalel Ashkenazi, at which point I like nearly exploded because I was like, look, I looked around the room of, you know, hundreds of YU guys, and I said, okay, I'm willing to bet money that half the people here don't know who Rav Bezalel Ashkenazi is. Most of the rest of them, if they know that there is a Rav Bezalel Ashkenazi, know that he wrote the Shita Mekubetzet, but have no idea that he also wrote Tshuvot. And the remaining few who knew both of those facts, there are very few people who are aware of that particular tshuva in Rav Bezalel Ashkenazi about kidnapping. You know, I mean, sure, every person that I've ever met in the Brisker circles who has given shiur on kidnapping has quoted that tshuva in Rav Bezalel Ashkenazi. Yes, it's a fascinating tshuva in Rav Bezalel Ashkenazi. Maybe we'll talk about it next week in Parsha or something. Rav Bezalel Ashkenazi has this fascinating thing which he derives from Yosef, right? Okay. It's fascinating. It's great. But it's not famous. There's no possible construal of famous that is, right? That is not famous. So I apologize. Not all of us know the Tosfot Rosh in Bava Metzia or the Miuchas L'Rashba in Menachot. You should, but it's not famous. You should just know it. You should just know it. Yes. So the question, so very simply, the way it seems to be is that you can philosophically, but the danger is juridically. Meaning, you can do Tamei HaMitzvot. The problem isn't asking Tamei HaMitzvot. The question is applying it juridically. Right? Meaning it's saying, because the rationale for the mitzvah is X, it must only apply in Y cases. So in this case, it's not really what it's doing, right? Because it's taking as a given what the halakhos of pay are, and then it's trying to figure out why it would do that. Ah, very good. So it is juridically applying it elsewhere, which is not clear as the same as Darshin and Taimed Akra. It depends on how you read a Rashi and Shabbos, Daf, Kuf, Chedem, and Beis. I had a bit of an argument about this with Yonatan Sachs, who's not the same person as Jonathan Sachs, even though they're both rabbi and their name is both the same. In Hebrew, it's exactly identical, but they're not the same person. The one who used to be a Rashiv of YU and is now a Rashiv at Landers, him, about how to read this Rashi. What? No, he lives in... No. I don't think so. Okay, could be. Could be. It's a good name. Good name. But not everyone gets Lord before it, you know? Yes, so... But yes, you're right. In this case, not only do they seem to be doing their Shin time in the crop source, they then apply it to another law. Good. So now, yes, Ezra. Yes, go. Correct, yeah. So, right, but the two and a half, the two shvat and whatever, that they're obligated to live up to certain responsibilities, and then...
And we see in also in the case of Stalin, it's a case of there's an obligation to not steal from the donations of Israel, so an obligation exists to Israel, and therefore,
okay, so, right, so, yeah, okay, and, yeah... Well, okay, wait. Slow down, Ezra. Okay. So, let me reiterate the question, and let's tease out Ezra's first attempt at understanding this sugya, okay? So again, the problems we have are, the Gemara introduces a category of chashad by candlelighting on Hanukkah. We have three very good psukim in Shkalim that tell us that you have to be worried about chashad. The Gemara in Shabbos quotes none of them. Instead, it invokes a pasuk from Peah. And that pasuk in Peah is very weird, because that pasuk in Peah, unlike the three in Shkalim, are not generic obligations to be concerned that with optics, right? It's a darshin and time in the cross. It's figuring out the rationale behind the mitzvah of Peah, but it's not, right? The Gemara in Shkalim is actually telling you, you have certain obligations because of the optics obligations, right? The Gemara, the halacha by pay is not like that. The reason that you have to leave the corner of your field in the corner, so that's a halacha. We then backtrack and say, why did God say that? And then we take the rationale and we implement it somewhere else, right? So the question is, why? What does this tell us about the law? So Ezra's answer one. Ezra, we're still teasing out your answer number one. Wait. What? I didn't say anything yet. I said nothing. I summarized. What did I say? Okay, we'll come, I mean, sort of, but okay, let's come back to that. I want to go back to what you said before, okay? So, the first, so how do we deal with this? So Ezra gives us suggestion number one, which is, let's try it again, repeat what you said. Okay, so Ezra says, okay, maybe from the fact that the Gemara in Shabbat does not quote the Pesukim in Shkalim, that tells us that we have to go back to the Gemara in the Sugya in Shkalim, and we have to reassess how sweeping this obligation is to care about what other people think. Right? We had assumed that it was really a sweeping obligation. You have to always make sure that no one suspects you of wrongdoing. Period. End of story. But if that's the case, if there is such a sweeping obligation, so then it should suffice to teach us every halacha that looks like Shad, including Hanukkah. So Ezra says, maybe not. Maybe the context of all the cases quoted in Shkalim and Bava Batra, all of those are in cases where I have a certain obligation towards others, right? I am a gabbai tzedaka, so I have responsibilities to the poor and to the community who gave the funds. I am the treasurer of the Beit HaMikdash. I have responsibility to those who donated the funds in the Beit HaMikdash. The psukim that are quoted are V'yitim neget nikim Hashem Yisrael is from the two shvatim committing to fight at the vanguard when they enter Eretz Israel, in order that they live up to their side of the promise to Moshe, and then and only then will they be allowed to inherit the land that they wanted to on the east side of the Jordan. V'chulei. So from here, Ezra says, maybe there's one area of chshad, and that's called when I have obligation towards others. Right, when I have obligations towards others. Okay, one second. So let's try different formulations, okay? Ezra, as I understood it, so Ezra, lefi me for a minute, as a theoretical construct, okay, says that maybe the difference is between cases where I have an obligation towards others, right? And as we talked about last week, it's cases where I either need to provide an accounting or I need to make sure that no one suspects me of doing something wrong, and to avoid an accounting. But what that fundamentally reveals is we're talking about cases in which I am responsible in some way to other people, right? There, the Gemara says, when you're responsible to other people, you better make sure that they don't suspect you of being, right, either being derelict or misappropriating resources, v'chulei. And Hanukkah is not like that. One second, Ezra. And Hanukkah is not like that. Because Hanukkah, I have no obligations to anybody. right? It's a different type of thing, which is I have to be worried that no one think I'm not frum enough. Okay? But then Ezra says that can't be what Ezra meant, right? Because... One sec. So Ezra now pushes back on that formulation. He says, that might theoretically explain Shkolim versus Hanukkah, but it does... Okay, I will disclaimer now. None of the things now are being definitively attributed to Ezra. Okay, good. What? Okay, one second. But Ezra pushes back and says, that alone would be insufficient because that would explain Hanukkah. What would it not explain? Peah. Because Peah is a certain level of an obligation towards others. Okay, fine. So now Ezra gives me a different formulation, which is maybe the Sugya in Shkalim said that when I have an obligation towards a community, I don't know if it's the whole country, all of Israel, community, something like that, right? The level of responsibility I have to avoid suspicion is particularly high. Hence, Reuven, and Gad are responsible to all of Israel. The treasure, the Beit HaMikdash, okay, that's national. And even when the Gemara in Bava Batra invokes it for the Gabbai Tzedakah, we're talking about communal obligations, where I'm obligated to the community, to the nation. Okay, so that's a very high level. But Hanukkah and Peah are much less. Whatever obligation I have are on a much more individualized basis, and maybe there I need a different pasuk. Now, the common denominator to what Ezra... Well, no, that's not true. The second answer, the second formulation of Ezra, right, is saying that fundamentally... all the things in Shkalim, so actually, no. Let's take these two formulations of Ezra and abstract them for a minute, okay? I'm not saying that Ezra puts his name behind either, but let's take these two formulations. In Ezra's second formulation, right, Ezra is saying that what? That fundamentally, all the cases that are found in Shkalim, Bava Batra, and Shabbat are all on the same continuum. But there are quantitative distinctions. How many people I'm responsible for, how many people I'm answering to, v'chule. The Gemara, therefore, couldn't prove anything from the cases in Shkalim for Shabbat, for Hanukkah, because the cases of Shkalim are, level 100, and this is level 50, right? But, and here's the key, if there's only a quantitative difference, then once you have the psukim from Peah, that tells you that what? The same type of obligation that exists in Shkalim exists in Hanukkah, right? We just needed another pasuk to expand the same conceptual type of concern, okay? But they're on the same conceptual continuum. They're just quantitatively different. You needed a pasuk to expand the parameters. One second, Ezra. Wait. Ezra's first formulation, which he didn't like, but fine. One second. Ah. But I want to just show you, Ezra. What I want to show you is that methodologically, you've made two types of answers, okay? The second answer that you said was essentially, yes, the Gemara in Shkalim is similar to the case of Hanukkah. They're just quantitatively different, but I need a new pasuk to expand the parameters. Your first formulation was, no, there's cases where I have an obligation to someone and cases where I don't, and these are qualitatively different cases, and therefore you need a new pasuk because it's a different type of halacha entirely. Now, right, at the level of abstraction, right, those are two methodological approaches. One is to say, the reason we quote a different pasuk is because this is the same as Shkalim, but it's not obvious because there's quantitative difference. You need a pasuk to expand the parameters, or these are fundamentally different types of concerns. Okay? Now, Ezra is still exploding on me because Ezra is saying, you're being unfair to me. You're taking my two answers, using them as paradigms as if this was a reshown, but it's not what I actually said. So good, Ezra. Give me your other formulations. Go ahead.
So, there's, I feel like two differences between
Give me one. No, fine. Give me two. Yes? Okay, you said group versus Yisrael. Great, that's one. Right, okay, so now you add another formulation, which is how many people have to be able to suspect you for us to care. Okay, good. Fine. Okay, that's again that's a variation on the quantitative approach. Fine.
I would say that with the first answer, I would say it's not that easy. I feel like that doesn't work as well with the
panic. In Okanami.
So I would say another way of saying it is that if the group that is being sinned against is the one that is affected.
But that's not going to help you for Hanukkah, because there's no one who's harmed. Okay. Okay, fine. Okay, good. I agree with you. Fine. Okay. Yonatan Rami, even though Yonatan has participated more, but still, Yonatan had his hand up first, so I have to be fair. Yes, Yonatan. It's a mitzvah to what? Yes. To mitzvah to light the Hanukkah candles. Correct. Yes. I agree with that statement. That is an uncontroversial statement. Okay, good. Very good. Yes. I don't know. I find that I don't know. You have to flesh that out and come back to me. Yes, Rami. Rami has a bad answer. Okay, yes, Rami. What is your bad answer? That's a bad way to preface anything, but fine. We like to what? Oh, we like to compare like to like. Okay, good. Yes. So in what way is lighting your menorah like Adam leaving his wonderful, beautiful Rimonim?
Because they're both having to deal with, like, land stuff.
Land stuff.
Okay. And they don't want to compare it with...
Here's what I'm going to say, Rami. You're half right. You're half right that what you're saying is...
That's like half more than I thought it was going to be.
Right. Okay, meaning you're right. As you formulated, I don't love it. But I think you're on the brink of saying something very, very, very good. Okay? Like, you're getting there. So, yes, Gavi.
Could it be that... In Shkolim, what's happening is you as the Gavai Tzedaka,
yeah,
a representative of the and you need to be and they have some amount of that they're required to trust you, and you don't necessarily need to be keeping or.
Okay, right. So you're saying that part of the difference might be that in the sugyas in Shkalim and Bava Batra, the case is you have a responsibility to people, and therefore they also have a responsibility towards you to trust you as long as you're being particularly honest, right? Here, that's very different. You're right. They're different.
Whereas here also by Teah and also by Hanukkah, it's very easy. You know, without a lot of effort to show them, look, I did like the Hanukkah candles. If you walk around the other
okay.
corner of my house, you will see the candles.
Okay, right, so...
And, or if you walk around the other corner of the field, you'll see the peah that I...
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you can make it, right, you could distinguish that way also, yeah. Okay. So let me reformulate the question, okay? Ezra, you have something else? You have another fifth possibility here? What? Wait. Wait, we have not moved on from the Gemara yet. We are still in the Gemara, right? You know, look, you've been in my share a few months. You know that until I feel like we have exhausted as many of the directions as we can in the Gemara, so that by the time we get to the Rishonim, we can predict them, I'm not going to let you go. No. No, I don't want you to do that yet. Not yet. Not yet. Okay. But I want to now that we've done this for 50 minutes, okay, I want to reformulate the question, and I want you to see how what a lot of you have been saying is inherent in the following formulation of the issue, okay? Especially Rami. What Rami said is he doesn't even realize how brilliant what he said is, okay? What? Rami thinks that I'm joking. I'm not joking. Rami will see that many people will agree with him in very, very, very fascinating ways. Sort of. It's not the way you think it is, but okay. Here's the question I want to ask you. Okay? There are two very different ways to deal with a concern like chashad. Okay? One is to say there's a universal principle called chashad, called marat ayin, call it what you want, right? And it plays itself out in 100 different places. Right? It tells you how you collect money for tzedakah. It tells you how you collect money for the Beis HaMikdash. It tells you where you light Hanukkah candles. It tells you whether you're allowed to use the bathroom in a McDonald's. It tells you, right, whether you can eat a salad in a non-kosher restaurant at a business meal. Right? All the different shilas you've heard in your lifetime, right? Whether you're allowed to have a fake, right, a cheeseburger with real meat and fake cheese, or real cheese, but the what's it called? The miracle burger, wonder, whatever it's called. I can't believe it's not meat burger, whatever it's called. I can't believe it's not butter, all those things, right? And guys, if I formulate it that way, and then I would ask you, why do you light a menorah in the second door? What are you accomplishing? What you would tell me is, if you formulate the way I just did, what would you say you're accomplishing? You're avoiding suspicion. That's what I'm doing. I'm lighting the second menorah because I'm avoiding suspicion. Okay? That is an external value, a universal value, a rule which is klali. Right? It's a chiyuv klali, which happens to stretch its tentacles out into the laws of Hanukkah. Okay? Fine? But sometimes that's not how you formulate the law. Right? Sometimes what do? You say that because of these universal values, what do? Correct. We change the formulation of the law itself, and therefore, when you light the menorah, mishum chashad, you're not paying service, you're not, right, respecting the general value of avoiding chashad, of yitem nikim yashem Yisrael, but Chazal formulated a unique halacha within the laws of Hanukkah, that respects shad is called lighting the Kanagan Mishram Shad. Now, one second. Okay? What in the sugya might hint at the fact that it is the latter and not the former? Might. That it's a localized halacha in Hanukkah rather than an expression of the universal value of Yitem Nikim Hashem Yisrael. What in the sugya indicates that might be the case? What? So one is simply that they quote a different pasuk, but sharper. No, that might be the answer to the question in everything in Hanukkah, but that's not what I want to know. No, in the sugya, before, Rami, you're not wrong, but in the sugya. Come on, there's something very, very, this is what Yonadan picked up before, and Yonadan forgot that he picked up on it. Half an hour ago.
Sheer.
That not only do we quote Peah, but what do we quote in Peah? The time of the mitzvah of why God himself instituted it. Now, Ezra picked up on it slightly differently. Ezra said, aha! No, not Rav Huna is God. Ugh, why do you have to take something? Okay, in the parallel, yes. Meaning, very good. Very good. That Ezra picked up on this and said, wait a second. The Gemara is asking, why did God set up a law the way he did? But once God set up Peah the way he did, the reason that you have to leave the percentage of your field to the poor on the corner is not because of Shad, and it's not because of Bitul Aniyim, and it's because that's the law. Right? Shad is the reason that God integrated into this particular form of tzedakah this particular detail, which is that it must be left in the corner. Similarly, if you think it could be that Hanukkah is the same, that the Gemara isn't just saying, why do you have to pay service to the generalized value of Chashad in Hanukkah? It's saying, why did we institute into the very laws of Hanukkah a concern for Chashad that requires you to light a second Hanukkah set of Hanukkah candles in your entrance? But once they did, that actually integrates into the mitzvah of Hadlakat Neirot. Right? Now, very quickly, you could speculate, as Rami blurted out, that why would you do that?
Lamp.
What? No. Other... Thank you. Right? You could say that, and I don't think this is sufficient, but it is the beginning of a reason, which is to say, wait a second. What do you mean by presume nisa? Which is, you could say something along the lines of, if Hanukkah candles themselves are set up in order to what? To lefarsem et hanes, to publicize the miracle. But in other words, this entire halacha is set up to send a message to the outside world. Maybe we're uniquely sensitive on Hanukkah to what people will think, because that's literally why we set up this law. This law is about the message that we send to the world. Right? When you have a law which is set up to begin with to convey a message to the world, it makes sense that you might be, just a shtickle more worried to set it up, a bissel more worried, right? A shtickle and a bissel, right? I'll tell you a story in a second, right? More worried about what people might think. Okay? So you could argue that the reason that we set it up this way is because it's internal to the laws of Hanukkah, not external. And that's evidenced, by the way, we quoted from Peah, where it's part of the law itself. Now, Rami is right that we still have to ask, well, why would we set it up this way, and what does it mean, and does it have to do something to do with the house and the land and stuff like that? Maybe it does. We'll come back to that. Okay? But this is what I want you to think about, these two questions, which are really inherent in a lot of what you've been saying, as we look at the Rishonim on Sunday. I'll tell you a story, then Yonatan runs a question, right, just because it reminded me. All I could think of last night is as they're picking all the members, you're too young to remember this, but as Biden is picking all the members of his cabinet, right? So when George Bush the second. What? George W. Bush, right? When he appointed, they're still working in this room where they were. Yeah. When he was appointing Colin Powell to be Secretary of State, right? So one of the little known facts about Colin Powell is one of his many jobs that he had when he was a young guy, probably your age, what was one of his jobs? What? He was a Shabbos guy. He was a Shabbos guy in a Jewish community, right? Where he learned Yiddish. Where he learned Yiddish, right? In like an old school European community in wherever, I think New York somewhere. So at his questioning in the Senate, in the House, whatever it was, right, they asked him, I don't know why this came up, but do you speak Yiddish? I don't know why this is relevant. To which his answer was, Abiso, right? Right, that was it, yes. Anyways, see, all these things you miss when you're, you know, fun times. Yes, Jen Sun, what is your question? Oh, very good. And it could be that you could go farther and say this really isn't about chashad at all. It's about, yes, that this is chashad al tfirsumei nisa. That is, if I have to care about what people think, right, and they think that I'm not lighting, I'm not caring, right, that lacks in tfirsumei nisa, right, and this, or chashad is the wrong word here, right? It's, I want to be mefarsim as much as I can, so anytime I have any reason to be mefarsim to anybody in any circumstance, right, even if what I have to hang it on is concern, I do that. Very good. That is very plausible. So what I want to do on Sunday is say, okay, if we're taking these ideas, is this the general value of chashad, or no? Does the fact that it quotes Peah and the fact that presuming nation is so central, does that show us that it's something else? I want you to think about that as we go through the Rishonim and think what the differences might be halachically between those two formulations, okay? Yes, Yonatan. We'll talk about it. We can talk about it, okay? Let's leave it here for now because I'm going to do Q&A because there was a request to do Q&A because we haven't done it in weeks. What? You can ask whatever you want, but let's say, I'll send out a message, but can just people just...